Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchisors to own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting David Ostro, CEO of Body Balance for Performance. And Body Balance for Performance is the nation's largest golf fitness franchise. Body Balance for Performance specializes in exercises and training to help improve the golf skills of its customers. And that's coming up on Segment 2 of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisors who own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. How are you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Doing well, Marty. How are you?
Good. Same here. Week has certainly gone by fast, Don. You know, it feels like 5 minutes from the last show, as I think I frequently say. But,
yeah.
It just
time
goes by
time
fast,
is flying,
it?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Our last show, Don, we met with Larry. Am I pronouncing this right? Sidoti or is it Sidoti?
Sidoti.
Sidoti, okay. And he's the Vice President of Development and Operations for the Yogurtland franchise opportunity. And if you missed the show, while there's tons of frozen dessert concepts on the market, Anaheim, California-based Yogurtland pioneered the customer-created frozen yogurt experience and developed a proprietary product. This was an interesting concept, wasn't it? It was definitely, I thought it was one of those great entrepreneurial stories, you know, how they start off like in a, you know, one little unit and it turns out to be this
right.
big thing. And part of it happened by accident, I think. It wasn't really the intention to come out with Yogurtland the way it did, you know, to be so successful. But I thought it was great. Did you have any thoughts on last week's show?
I thought they were just smart, Marty, how they made it where the customer is active and, you know, making their own yogurt and flavor. And they also have their own, you know, unique proprietary, a system of making yogurt and flavors. And
that's right.
I mean, it's really a big boom that's been happening. I've seen, being in franchise financing, I see all these, yogurt dessert franchises, and you know, yogurt's very good for you. It's one of the best foods in the world, and it's also tasty. But it will really be interesting because there's several of these yogurt franchises that are really starting to sweep the country. It'll be interesting to see how they last and if it can be successful in all parts of the country. I know Yogurtland is one of those front runners, and it was a good show. We did a good job, Larry, of explaining the history and what's happening with the company, and I thought it was a pretty good show.
Yeah, absolutely. Same here. It looks like, Don, their goal is to hit, 550 total locations by the end of 2015. You know, and I think that's pretty reasonable. It looks like they've managed to grow 120 units in 9 states. They're already in Japan. They're already in Mexico. And, you know, I call this franchise, you know, one of those, like, feel-good type of franchise opportunities, you know, because especially during, you know, today's time, you know, where times might be a little tough, Larry was mentioning, like, a family of four could go out and you know, for, like, $10 or $12, you don't really get that opportunity too often to do something like that, to have a family experience for $10 or $12. I mean, try going to the movies, you know, or anything today. It's just pretty expensive, so... I think it could be one of those family experiences. And like you said, yogurt is something that's good for you, too. You know, and they have this way of making it taste good. You know, you can combine all these different flavors and, I guess, toppings and stuff like that. So
it's healthier for you than ice cream. It's healthier. If a parent's going to be like, okay, let's go out and get a treat. I don't know. I guess I'd lean more towards, if they really like yogurt, excited about it, leaning towards going towards that because it's just healthy. My twins who are 6, I'm always trying to get them to eat yogurt.
That's true. You know, so I'm looking forward to them coming out this way. I know I think they opened up a couple units in New Jersey, if I remember, when Larry talking. You know, I think one is not too far from where you are. I think one might be south of you and one might be north of you. So that's great.
We forgot to ask him for some free coupons. Forgot to mention
it. You're right. Well, it's funny. We've had that happen in the past, actually, you know, where we've had some guests and they've actually sent us the product. And I just thought that was very clever, you know, our guests that have done that in the past, because, you know, we would speak about it for weeks sometimes afterwards. I remember Miami Rice. I'm still talking about that. He sent it was a whole case of rice pudding. I must have put on 20 pounds that week because I couldn't ship it back to you, of course, because you're in Jersey. So I had all this rice pudding in my refrigerator, and every time I went to it, I was just, oh, my God, this stuff is out of this world. And I think we had the same thing with PB Loco. I remember they sent a case of peanut butter, you know, and, man, that was something. So it's easy to put on weight with this show, that's for sure. But anyway, so I know we have an interesting show today, don't we? We've been talking about this one for a little while now.
David Ostro, CEO of Body Balance for Performance. All the people out there who love golf, who love fitness, it'll be a very interesting franchise opportunity for you. So, thanks.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. Yeah, we haven't had too many golf franchises on the show in 4 years. I think there might have been one, and I don't even remember when it was. But, you know, so this is going to be interesting. I think this is going to be a fairly new one for our categories, you know, so I'm looking forward to that as well. So, yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. And I know you had some interesting articles, Don, we wanted to get to last week, but of course we never have enough time.
Right.
What do you got this week?
Well, here's something our friends over at Franchise Times Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an article, "Get Ready for Hundreds of New Places to Dine In. Don't look now, but restaurant development is surging. Now that sales are going up and banks appear to be willing to part with some of their money, restaurant companies are planning big things this year, according to a report by the real estate advisory firm Chainlink's Retail Advisors. Burger chains and anything serving Asian food, like Five Guys Burgers and Panda Express, respectively, are being especially active. And fast casual chains, which emerged from the recession with some strong sales in 2010, will be notably active. But so will restaurants in other sectors. Chainlink believes that Subway, already the world's largest restaurant chain by units, will somehow find new locations for 700 more U.S. units this year." It's really incredible.
Wow.
700.
That's amazing. So where the hell are they going to put them? It seems like there's Subways, I mean, everywhere. I mean, I love Subway, by the way. I mean, but it's amazing. You say, you know, where are they going to put them? But I guess, you know, it's a pretty big country. So, I mean, Subway isn't everywhere and anywhere yet, but
that's just incredible.
In the U.S.
It says don't bet against them. It's the same chain that put a location atop a crane, after all. I don't know much about that, but they...
Okay.
Subways are all over, but Dunkin' Donuts, Denny's, Burger King, Cold Stone Creamery, Pizza Hut, Burger King are all among the chains expected to add, open more than 100 new locations in 2011. Even the family chain IHOP expected to add 50 new locations this year. We take this report with a certain grain of salt because it relies largely on restaurant self-reported development expectations, which can often be a little rosy. Credit markets remain competitive, and thus development goals may be difficult to reach as franchisees struggle to get loans for new units. Still, with sales on the upswing industry-wide, many restaurateurs are simply tired of doing nothing, and they may also want to take advantage of a real estate market where prices remain low. Rents won't stay cheap for long. Indeed, more than a few operators have told us that
That's
the top
true.
Locations are still tough to get, especially for newer chains with little history. Chainlink reports that rents have already started to come up in markets with low unemployment, like in Washington, D.C.
Right.
This is interesting. I guess the big get bigger, so to speak. These are some major franchise chains, and they want to stay active with their growth because probably the last couple of years, except for maybe the Dunkin' Donuts and Subway, have been hurt by the recession, haven't met their growth goals, and now the economy is getting a little better, I guess. Financing, I guess, is a bit better, still very tough, but it's not going to stop the big guys from moving forward and trying to hit their growth goals.
Yeah, I like how they mentioned the whole location factor. I mean, it's what a way to create a sense of urgency, too, you know, for franchising, Don, because those locations, I mean, what do you think? I mean, how much longer are they going to be available, you know? And, you know, we've spoke about that in the past, you know, is that, you know, a good location can sometimes overcome bad marketing. I think there's going to be a lot of people kicking themselves in a year saying, damn, I wish I got that location back then, you know, if I only knew, you know. So, and the rents are coming up, like you say. So it's just amazing. It's interesting, too, with the burger chains, too. I'm always amazed, like, when, you know, if someone asked us 10 years ago if we would see, like, this trend of burger chains popping up. I mean, what would you have said back then? I mean, I would have said no, you know. McDonald's,
same with
Burger
me.
King,
yeah.
Wendy's. I mean, who the hell knew that all these burger places were going to be coming back, you know? It's I didn't see that one coming, so...
Well, there's probably about there's like 7 to 10 burger franchises that you know, like specialty high quality burger type franchises, like Jake's Wayback Burgers. I'm familiar with them. They're growing and getting some very solid investors looking and investing in that franchise. So we have this whole segment of the hamburger taking off, which be interesting to have a McDonald's executive on. In general, you know, we should probably have a goal to have them on the show, but wonder what their feeling is about just all the competition in general, all the restaurants, all the food franchises, and now specifically burger franchises, because which is maybe a little different market that Jake's Burgers is going after compared to McDonald's, but essentially, you know, essentially everybody's going after getting customers. That customer's going to have to make a decision.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, look at Five Guys. When we had Five Guys... on our show, I think it was like 3 years ago, you know, so I remember them working with FranSmart was the organization selling them. You know, I mean, it was just, I think there was a couple hundred of them when we first had them on the show, and I think they sold like several hundred, you know, over the several year period of time, and I think there were over 1,000 units at this point, and I've heard amazing things about them, by
yeah.
the way. I haven't been to a Five Guys yet, but every time I drive by, I mean, that place is packed. I mean,
right.
it's, I see there's something going on in there, so I definitely got to get in there soon, because...
Right, how did they grow so quickly?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That growth is just amazing. So, yeah, I mean, that was an interesting trend that happened in franchising that I think you and I, we definitely didn't see that one coming. So,
There's something interesting, Marty, about remodeling franchises indoor. Grand plans to franchise the remodeling industry have given way to more realistic goals. Despite efforts in the 80s to franchise remodeling following the successful Century 21 real estate model, franchising never made an extraordinary splash in the industry. For a time, it seemed as though it might take off. There are more than 600 Mr. Build franchises in the mid-80s, and Dial One was a close competitor, but the transition from real estate to remodeling was a rocky one, and the two brands faded away. Yet franchising overall has a huge presence in American service and retail business. The 07 business census conducted by D.C.-based Census Bureau found that franchising crosses about 300 business lines. Entrepreneurs look to franchising as a way to grow their businesses in a faster and more effective manner. If it's something replicable and something that works in multiple environments, then people will move forward on it. A lot of people start the process, but they never get around to actually selling a franchise. Starting your own business and a franchise is one thing. Actually getting out there and selling it and convincing someone it's a good concept they can do well in is another thing. You have to have the marketing and support behind it. Franchises
right.
start every day, and we see a lot in the commercial and residential services, especially in the contracting area, like Mr. Handyman. We had them on in the past.
Mm-hmm.
What we've seen, especially during the recession, is what we call conversions, where you have independent businesses and contractors that will sign up or convert to a franchise because of the support they get. The number
right.
one thing is that a franchise business has to be replicable. You have to put together a good operating manual and turn it over to someone so they can replicate what you've done. If you can't do that easily or you don't do it well, then you're not going to get off to a great start. Franchising continues to grow quietly in the remodeling industry, at least in part because of changing economic conditions and consumer priorities. Some remodelers, for example, may find buying into an established business plan more attractive than building their own from scratch in certain times. Consumers, for the part, may search for an established brand in a time when information overload is the norm. That conversions is interesting. I guess that's how they want to build up their business. Go after existing people already in business that are
right.
profitable, but like any business owner, you're always looking to diversify and how you can help your business in the bottom line, and maybe that's how the remodeling industry has to go. Have we ever had a remodeling franchise on? I don't think so.
Good question. I want to say yes, but I can't remember which one we had on the show. No, you know what? We had an interior designer, so that's not really the same thing. So I guess no, we haven't. So we'll have to get one on
yeah.
the show. But it's interesting you're talking about these conversions, Don. I mean, we've spent, you know, a little time talking about this topic when we've had certain guests on the show. I the ones that I recall, different industries. I remember the tax industry. They do a lot of conversions, don't they? From like
right.
like the mom and pop type of tax operation, and then they convert to like a Ronnie Deutsch tax center. Or I think the auto industry has been very big on conversions.
And just this week, Marty,
well.
Me being in financing, I talked to people all over the country. A well-known, this is another, burger franchise, and
mm-hmm.
they're having a few people call us who are restaurant owners, and they want to convert it to that specific franchise. I spoke to a national coffee franchise who wants an existing oil and gas company to
really?
Have them put this coffee franchise into their business. When people stop off and they're getting gas, hey, maybe I'll pick up a cup of coffee. And, hey, I know the name of that coffee franchise. That's a familiar name. And
mm-hmm.
so... in the first example, burgers, that's a conversion. The next one is, it's getting into co-branding, a little bit.
Okay.
But this is popular where, a lot of people are looking to go this way because maybe with the recession, the business has struggled, and maybe they need additional support and the backing of a successful company to get their business on track and continue to grow it to eventually go to multiple units.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's fantastic.
So, moving on with this article here, it says, talking about remodeling, research has shown the average homeowner will do a project every 5 to 7 years. We found that if we can visit the home once or twice a year, we can increase our chances of getting all their business. What else here? I guess the article goes on, building a franchise is starting a business within a business. To be honest, the last 2 years have been 60 to 70 hours of work minimum per week, and he has a staff, and we've talked about this too, how when you start a franchise, you're going to have to really, work big time hours, and just like starting any other business, it's going to be quite a bit of work. You have to have a very solid, proven business model that works before you can transfer it to someone else. You've got to be able to model this to who your prospect is. In our case, the remodeler is the ideal person to align with, although we have some new home builders who are also very interested. The remodeling industry. It goes on saying alternatives to franchising. In addition to franchising, there are two other models by which businesses can expand their market and distribution channels. Distributorship and licensing. These are things that we probably haven't talked about in the past. When a company is deciding on how can we grow or should we franchise our business model, do you go with franchising, you go with a distributorship, or you set it up as, which can be a dealership?
A license.
Or license, yeah.
Right, yeah, and there's big differences, Don, with all three of those. I'm glad that you brought this up because a lot of people don't really understand the difference. And all of them have advantages and disadvantages, of course. I mean, franchising is a contractual obligation. You're pretty much tied to business. Usually the contract is for like 10 years. You do have to follow some very strict rules by the system. You are in business for yourself, but
right.
You're definitely not by yourself, where some of these other businesses provide maybe a little more, let's say, like flexibility, particularly like, let's say, with the licensing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you may not necessarily have to follow the exact system provided by the company, So,
And a license, Marty, they allow the licensee, the business owner, to pay for the right to use a particular trademark.
Mm-hmm.
And licensors, they're mainly interested in collecting royalties, supervising the use of the license rather than influencing the operation. So they're not as involved in the business, but they do collect an ongoing royalty. You can use their logo, their trademark, and so forth. And in a distributorship, that's usually a business model where you have to basically use their suppliers. Think of distributorships, that's how they make their money. That business model is getting their paper products or just their different supplies have to be bought through the company. That's the contract. That's the arrangement.
Exactly. Absolutely. I'm almost curious, like, how long the contracts are in those things, too, Don, on the licenses or the distributorships. Again, like, typically a franchise contract is usually, I think the average is 10 years. So I'm always curious how long the contract is for those things. But, yeah.
We should eventually have an attorney on who can give the breakdown of the different scenarios. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I think it's a great article. Why don't we do this? Our guest David hasn't called in yet, but I have a feeling that, by the time we play a couple of commercials, he's going to be calling into the studio. So let's take a quick break, Don, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews. Good job, Don.
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneurs of 1-1. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And our guest, David, hasn't called in yet, Don, but I expect him to call in any minute. He just emailed saying he was trouble calling in. So why don't we do this? We have a clip from you and I were interviewed, if you remember this, was it 2 months ago, on CBS Radio. You know, one of the advantages of hosting Franchise Interviews is we're frequently asked to be guests on other radio shows or newspaper articles and things like that. So let's play a quick clip when you and I were on Lynn Johnson's radio show. So let's see if I can get this. Here we go.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear A Great Quote in Franchising. And today's podcast is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only magazine that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees and is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. You know, Don and I have been hosting franchise interviews now over 4 years and over 200 shows, and during that time we've had some incredible quotes on our show. The nice thing about hosting franchise interviews is we're frequently asked to be guests on radio shows and magazine interviews on the topics of entrepreneurship and franchising. And today you're going to get to hear an interview that we did 6 months ago on CBS Radio with Lynn Johnson on her motivational talk show. And, of course, the topic was entrepreneurship and franchising. And here's what we said. I think you guys will enjoy it.
Hey, did you ever think about buying a franchise? Do you think that now is the worst time to buy one? Or you're not sure whether anyone would loan you money to purchase a franchise? How does the whole thing work? Well, let's find out. We have an expert on the line, Marty McDermott.
Hi, Coach Lynn. How are you?
Fantastic. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. It's always great to talk to you. I always feel like it's a World Talk reunion, right? We get together.
I know. We started out, guys, a very long time ago. I think we're some of the only people left, aren't we?
I know. It's amazing, isn't it? But it's just, and it seems like yesterday that we started, Lynn. You know?
It really does.
It's just incredible. But it's the success that you've had is just wonderful to watch, though. I mean, it's just incredible.
Thank you so much. And yours has been pretty fantastic. You know, Marty, just over the break, when I announced that you were going to be here talking about franchises, I got a tweet from Alice and a lot of other people, but I selected Alice's tweet.
Oh, good.
Because she says that her family has owned the same bagel shop for over 35 years.
Wow.
But now they're going to have to close because the business has slowed and their debts are too high. She wonders if setting up her own franchises could save their business. So, Marty, I know you're an expert and you host that wonderful show called Franchise Interviews on Blog Talk Radio.
That's right.
Are franchises for everyone?
Oh, great question, Lynn. It's a deep question and definitely not. In fact, you know what? If I can quote my friend Dr. John P. Hayes, franchising is not for everyone and it's probably not for most people. And when I say that, you know, the first time I heard that phrase, Lynn, I was a little confused because I said, if franchising isn't for everyone and it's not for most people, then who could it be for? You know, it's so. But for franchising is really for someone who knows how to follow rules, follow systems. They're not a true entrepreneur. When I say that, sometimes franchisees get upset because they say, what are you talking about? I consider myself an entrepreneur. The entrepreneur is really the person that actually creates the franchise opportunity. And, you know, when you're talking about franchisors or entrepreneurs, they're really, and you know this, Lynn, they're very creative people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can look at something.
I could never follow rules, Marty.
Exactly. And they could just create something out of anything, you know. Franchisees, and it was funny because I was in Virginia, George Mason University,
mm-hmm.
on Friday talking about this topic, and one of the topics I was talking about was military being good candidates for franchises, because they know how to follow a system, you know? So you really have to know how to follow a system, like to follow rules, and if you can't do that, then it's probably not for you, Lynn. So, yeah, it's always a word of caution before getting into franchising.
Now, I know that you say that there are two key factors that should be present before you consider buying a franchise. What are those factors?
Well, it depends. There's a lot of different things. I mean, one is, what do you want the franchise to do for you? And, you know, for example, like, I'll give you an example. I like Dunkin' Donuts. You know, I frequent Dunkin' Donuts probably, like, you know, several times a week. And as much as I like Dunkin' Donuts and the coffee and the donuts, I wouldn't be a good franchisee for that type of system, because when you buy into a Dunkin' Donuts, you're working some pretty hefty hours.
True.
You know? So one of the questions you have to ask yourself is, what's important to you? You know, you're really taking a deep assessment. And for me, you know, my family is most important to me. So if I wasn't, you know, with my family or my son, like if he has a baseball game one day or whatever it is, I'm going to get very frustrated, even if I'm making a lot of money. You know, so you want to ask yourself, what do you want this franchise to do for you? And you know, what kind of system is the best match for you? There's so many choices out there today, Lynn. I mean, there's like 80 different industries.
Wow.
Franchising. Yeah, a lot of people, when they just think of franchising, they just think of food. But it's actually up to about 80 different industries. There's accounting franchises, there's advertising franchises, there's shoe repair franchises, you name it. It seems like they have it, you know. So you really have to ask yourself, you know, what's the best match for you?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of research. And, you know, of course you come down to the financials,
yes,
too. And, you know, I mean, you know, McDonald's, as successful as it is, it's almost a home run every single time you have a McDonald's franchise. I can't afford one, you know. So the financial aspects are always a big factor as well. I think to go even deeper, I think you need family support. I think that's important as well, you know. I mean, if you're married, I think you have to have that support from your husband or your wife before you get into an opportunity as well, because you're taking them along for the ride with you.
I love that you said that, Marty.
Absolutely.
Do you know what you said? Yeah. You said you need the support from your husband, mm-hmm, which would infer that a woman could easily go in and buy a franchise. I love that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's, you can see the influence my wife has on me, too, I guess. She's got me trained, Liz, you know. You know, and she's a fan of your show, by the way, too, you know. So you can tell I listen, you know. But absolutely. But it's so true. And, you know, speaking of women, Lynn, I mean, they really do make fantastic entrepreneurs, you know. I mean, it's amazing. I think for the first time, you know, I teach for Kaplan University.
Yes.
And we have, in colleges, for the first time, there's more women in college today than there are men.
And they're older as well.
And older, you know. So what does that say to you, you know, is there's a lot of exciting trends that are taking place here in the United States. So
now I wanted to ask you about this because I know that they just announced that even Ritz Camera is going to be closing many, many, many of their stores. And I'm kind of heartbroken about that.
Yeah.
Because I'm an amateur professional photographer.
Right.
But my question is, so how do you know if the franchise that you're interested in is even going to be around in the next 5 years?
Wow, it's a great question, you know, and nothing is ever 100% certain. I will say this, that not all franchises are created equal. And what you can do is, I mean, look at the company's track record for one. You know, one of the things that you can look at is their franchise disclosure documents, and look at the history of the company. Some companies that just started franchising, I mean, they haven't really been around very long, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of taking a chance in a way. You know, and you can look at how many franchisees they have and things like that. I think there's certain franchises that are always going to be around. I think McDonald's will always be here. They have like 33,000 units. Subway has about 33,000 units. So those ones are pretty safe. It's almost a home run every single time. So there is always that element of risk involved, even when you are buying into a franchise system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course you can look at things like the market and things like that and kind of make your own assessments, but
so, Marty, with all that you know, because I have 1 minute left, and I definitely want them to come and listen to you, because I love your show on Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks so much, Lynn.
And I want them to check out your work. It's very, very important. Are franchises still a viable option, even with this economic downturn?
Most definitely. I mean, I think, Lynn, and this is going to sound a little weird, is, you know, one of the interesting effects of the recession I see now is some of the best offers in franchising.
Interesting.
And I've been doing this 10 years now. I mean, I'll give you a couple quick examples. Some franchisers, what they're doing is they're reducing or dropping a franchise fee for their new franchisees. Now, that's pretty significant because a franchise fee usually goes for about $30,000, $40,000. So they're waiving that. In some cases, there's two-for-one deals where if you buy one franchise, they'll drop the franchise fee for the second one.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So it's really, you know, and that's the effect that I've noticed from the recession is really some incredible deals. Even the landlords right now, and I mean, you've noticed there's a lot of great locations available right now.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, you want to get those locations because, I mean, a great location can really overcome bad marketing, you know, and there's going to be a lot of people kicking themselves next year. They're going to say, I should have got into that opportunity last year when they waived the franchise fee, when I could have got this killer location in this particular spot. And, you know, landlords are sometimes more willing to give a great lease to a franchise as opposed to, let's say, Tony Subs, who's just like a regular guy, you know.
So somewhere Tony's saying, hey!
Exactly, Tony's upset. But, you know, so they're really getting some incredible deals right now. I think that this is the most exciting time
to get into franchising. But again, you know, to quote you, Linda, you know, franchising isn't for everyone. It's not for most people. You do have to really do your homework. It's not guaranteed every single time. And, you know, not all franchises are really created equal. There are some that are better than others.
Well, Marty, it's a pleasure to hear your voice and talk to you again.
It's a pleasure to hear your voice.
And where can my...
You're great.
Thank you. I love you, too.
Thanks, Coach Lynn.
Where can my people hear you, do business with you, and all those wonderful things?
Absolutely. Go to franchiseinterviews.com. You can hear over, I think we're up to 160 shows, Lynn, recorded up to this point. Yeah, so it really, when I say that number, I mean, it tickles my spine because... I didn't think that there was going to be a market for this, or we'd find like a listening base for it. But I mean, every single month we have more listeners, just like you know. So I haven't quite achieved your success yet, but someday. You
well,
know.
Thank you so much, Marty, and go check him out. Franchise Interviews on Blog Talk Radio, my dear old friend from World Talk Radio.
Thanks Marty so much, Lynn. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, you prosper.
Take care.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneurs of 1-1. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, looks like we got David. We're meeting with David Ostro, CEO of Body Balance for Performance. And Body Balance for Performance is the nation's largest golf fitness franchise. Hey, David, how you doing today?
Doing great. How are you?
Terrific, David. Thanks for calling in. Sorry for the technical difficulties.
No worries, Marty.
We have Don Johnson, who I think you might even know, my co-host.
Okay, sure do.
Hey, David.
Hey, Don.
How are you?
Yeah. Hey, Don. How are you?
Good, thanks. Glad to have you on.
Talk
to us about Body Balance.
Sure. It's very exciting. So what would you like to know? There's so much to say.
we're not even going to take a commercial break, David. We're going to just get right to the meat of things. Maybe you can start off, you know, telling our guests about Body Balance. You know, it was funny. I was looking in our chat room, and we have an overabundance of listeners in our chat room today. So I think there's a lot of golf fans out there, and I don't think there's too many opportunities where, you know, you can go into your own business and have a passion for golf at the same time. So I thought maybe you can jump right into the franchise opportunity.
Sure. We would be happy to do that. I mean, Body Balance for Performance is golf fitness in the franchise setting. And you know, we have centers around the country. We're East Coast, we're West Coast, we're sort of Texas, and then around the Great Lakes. And,
okay.
And really what this is you know, a lot of people will go to the gym and work out. But the workouts from the science that we've seen don't necessarily make a difference for their golf game. They may or they may not. And I don't know, over the years as a physical therapist, I've seen an awful lot of people get hurt in workouts at gyms and
right.
personal trainers. And so what we did, I mean, this was 1992 or 3 that Body Balance started, and you know, in 1995 they started franchising. I was actually one of the first franchises in Body Balance, and in 2003 bought the company and moved it to the East Coast from the West Coast and really sort of retooled the whole system to reflect the kinds of things that we were doing. I was sort of a perennial leader in the organization. I hate talking about myself like this, but it's important. I was a perennial leader. We were always the top producing franchise. I have this box full of trophies that when I went from franchisee to franchisor, I took all my franchisee trophies and put them away and decided it was time to kind of take a different approach. And you know, it was sort of neat being able to kind of look across all of the centers that were out there, and there were many, many more a long time ago. And we sort of intentionally went through a process of thinning down and weeding out, and really getting to the franchisees that wanted to be part of this, who were really willing to respond and do the work. And you know, in 2006 launched a complete new system out to them, where we put in 3D motion technology and we put in weight shift technologies, and we had, you know, we finally took all the systems that weren't really well documented, and they're all documented. Everything's in writing. We have manuals for marketing and manuals for sales and manuals for clinical and manuals for training. And, you know, and we train people on these things left and right. It's a few weeks' worth of training that we do, and then we do an awful lot of you know, weekly kind of, we'll call them consulting calls to get people going. Could be weekly, could be daily, depends on the particular franchisee. You know, that's all included. You know, they get all of that stuff with the franchise fee, and, you know, they train as many people as they need. It's from what I've seen in franchising, it seems like it's a pretty good deal. You know, there doesn't cost them anything extra in terms of training in first year. So it's been fun. And so what we really have done is figured out a system, a training, meaning clients coming in the door who are golfers, training system, where we look at how they move physically and what their range of motions are and what their strength is and, you know, just how their body moves. And we look at them more from a health point of view as opposed to a fitness point of view initially. Does the body work right? You know, is there good range
right.
of motion, their good strength? And from there, develop an individualized program for that person. I like to say custom program, but that's sort of, you know, it's one of those, everybody says everything's custom, but it really are individualized programs that we design for people. And, you know, it takes a fair amount of work for a franchisee. You know, in my mind, I don't mind being honest, it takes a fair amount of work for a franchisee to learn how to do that effectively, and that's why our training is as much time as it is. And what really happens then is a client will come in, you know, one of these golfers will come in, we'll put them through an assessment that takes about 2 hours. They pay for that assessment, and at the end of the assessment, vast majority of them get on a 6 to 12 month program with us where they might come weekly or might come twice a week or might come every other week or whatever it might be to handle the particular issues that we found in their body that through the use of technology we can prove is affecting how they swing the golf club. I mean, scientifically prove it. And, you know, we see jaws drop when they look at this stuff. And, you know, I've seen these guys who are high-powered executives that I've worked with personally and mini-tour players and tour players kind of almost start to get weepy in their eyes when you go, look, the fact that you haven't gotten any better has nothing to do with you as a person and your ability and your mind and any of that. It's that you have these three or four barriers in your body that are completely preventing you from moving right. And when we clear those, it's remarkable what happens. So, you know, the product itself is an amazing product, the product that the franchisees deliver and that we deliver in our corporate stores. That product I'm astounded by it every time, and I'm 20 years at this. Every time I get an outcome like that with a client, which is almost every time, I'm astounded by it. It's really exciting to me. My background is as a physical therapist, so this was just, and I love golf, it was just an absolute natural for me.
So Body Balance, David, you mentioned it's a training system.
Yep.
I guess this is all being done while they're playing the game
sure.
of golf?
They're taking lessons while they're working with us. We don't offer those lessons, but most folks who come to us either from their instructor or from a country club event that we might have done or you know, some web stuff or word of mouth. And invariably, at the end of the assessment, we reach out. You know, one of the things that we teach franchisees is really important to build relationships with those golf instructors because, you know, the golf instructors need to understand very clearly what you're doing, and you need to understand very clearly what the golf instructor is trying to get the student to do so that as you train this client's body to move right, it's working together with what the golf instructor is teaching as opposed to against. To me... to be able to play golf while we're working on this is this body stuff is really excellent. It's not necessary, but it's excellent. In Philadelphia, we had a fair amount of snow and had a really busy winter, and I'm now hearing reports of clients who haven't played golf in 2.5 months going out for their first round of the season, 5 strokes lower than they were at the end of last season, and they're kind of going, how is that possible? I haven't swung a golf club. I haven't played. Well, because their body moves more efficiently. That's the clinical system, or the training system, if you will.
To teach them to be a better golfer, being in better shape, which is going to improve their game.
Right.
And I guess for people listening to invest in a Body Balance franchise, I guess, one, you probably have to be a lover of golf to get involved with this type of franchise. If you're a lover of golf and fitness, even better.
I
guess it seems like what you're doing is innovative. And you know, combining these two sectors. You want to maybe talk about more of a like an example of how one particular client to Body Balance was maybe it helped them and was well worth the investment of them being a client, David.
Sure, Sure. So we have a, let's see, do I want to keep, I won't use her name, but a woman that I started working with 9 years ago, who is an excellent golfer in her own right. She works, she plays out of a local club, and, you know, she plays all over the country, and she goes to Florida sometimes in the winter, and so we've worked with her, and the first day she came to me 9 years ago, she said to me, I want to play at the national amateur level, meaning she wanted to play like in the U.S. amateur, or the women's amateur, or the mid-amateur, something like that.
Right.
And we've been working with her pretty much 9 years. I mean, and she was a good golfer. What that means is her handicap was, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, somewhere in that range when we started. It's a long time ago, so I don't remember exactly. And she comes in regularly, you know, we see her, and her play has gotten better and better. Well, last year she went out, and she was the 64th qualifier for the U.S. Women's Senior Amateur, meaning that there were 300 people there in a tournament, and 64 of them got to play for match, go to match play. She was one of those 64. And as the 64th player in the field, she was paired against the number one. It's sort of like the NCAA, you know, the whole NCAA March Madness thing where one plays 64 and two plays 63. Well, so she had a very hard road, and she finished second in the country in the senior amateur women's division last year. And one of the things that she said publicly was that it's all the fitness work that she's done that's made her able to last through rounds of golf every day for 8 days, and has helped her ability to play and hit balls and her distance and all those kinds of things over the course of time we've spent. She's extremely committed to golf. She works with an instructor in Florida, an instructor up here, and, you know, she's sort of an extreme example of a woman who is unbelievably committed to making her golf better and taking golf to the highest level that an amateur could go. And she missed winning the whole tournament. She lost, I think, on the 17th or 18th hole, or no, it would be the 35th or 36th hole on the final day against the person who actually won. So she went 34,
wow,
35 holes with that person until she was eliminated. So it was a, you know, for her was a major success. When she came back from that tournament, we had a, you know, we had balloons waiting for her, parties waiting. We had a party here. It was so much fun when she came back in. And that's the kinds of successes we're used to. I mean, I remember my first, this is sort of interesting, my first real gig in this business was at a golf course called Pine Valley, which is a fairly notable golf course. And, you know, the pro invited me in, took, you know, whatever, and I went down there and started working with folks in the early spring. And I had about 15 clients very quickly, you know, within 6 weeks I had 15 clients that I was working
wow.
with down there at Pine Valley. And they had their club championships in June. All 14 of those people won some sort of a trophy, and many of them had never won anything before in their life. I was just astounded. And that was when I was new at this. That was like my first year
mm-hmm.
in the business. And that sort of set us up for me to have successes, because when you go to one of those clubs that's like a top club in the world, they spread the word for
right.
it, and they really have helped you. And quite frankly, I feel like that relationship is one that's helped put us on the map as an organization. So I like to thank them anytime I get that opportunity, and this is one of those.
Those are great stories, David. Yeah, great stories. So it's really taking advantage of technology to find flaws in their game, but really by combining them, being in better shape. And
correct.
And plus, you're just making people feel better about themselves, or in better shape, they're healthier. But all of that, plus the technology and the body balance strategy and just everything that's part of the franchise, I guess all of that plays into really improving their game. Because I'm not a golf player. I don't think Marty is either, but just about everybody I know plays. And it seems like, I mean, it's a, you know, people do a lot of walking around. I mean, you have to kind of be in good
mm-hmm.
shape to just play the game, period. But you take it to a whole other level.
Yeah, we really do take it to another level. I mean, most people, you go to most country clubs, these folks will be walking on Saturday morning. They'll be walking with a caddy. They don't let carts go out, you know, at many of the golf courses. And so you have to walk with a caddy. And in the afternoon, you have a choice of walk and carry your bag, or walk and push your bag, or
right.
take a cart. And a lot of people will take carts. I mean, that's part of our society these days. If we can sit down, we
mm-hmm.
will. But the... you know, the long and short of it is that folks, like I had a golf instructor come in as a client earlier this week, said to me, you know, the only thing I want to do is be able to finish 18 holes of golf without being exhausted and having pain. And, And you know, I hear that regularly,
yeah.
And that's one of the things that we help people. You know, my wife was funny. She would say to me, "I really hate it when you go to play golf. I won't make any plans." This was before I started doing all this. I won't make any plans that you go out and play golf, because you're going to come home and you're going to be hurting and you're going to be grumpy and you're going to want a nap. You know, it really affected our social life. And,
funny.
And what I feel like is the kinds of things that we do for people in our primary business is really help them with their lives. We fix broken bodies, and in fixing those broken bodies, it really helps them. When we tie it to some of the technology that we use, it really helps them swing the golf club better.
Wow.
And what type of what type of investor are you looking for? Any type of characteristics? I mean, who have you seen has been successful as a body balance investor and franchisee?
Well, our most successful centers have been either folks from the world of physical therapy or personal training, although we have two guys now who have no health and fitness background, one in Tampa Bay, Florida, and one in Atlanta, Georgia, who are both just burning up the trails and spend an awful lot of time learning human body stuff and learning how to understand what the human body is and how it works. And because of their intense study and their intense embracing of the system, they're really starting to do well in their businesses. The guy in Atlanta, Chad is just excited with what's going on down there now. And Barry in Tampa is really starting to see progress as he's gotten more and more competent on the clinical side of this thing. So
you really don't have to be have a background in golf for people listening. Hey, if I don't know golf, why do I want to invest in that franchise? But it's really not the case, right?
Right. But we believe that the person who markets this business needs to have a passion for golf, have to love the game of golf, can talk the game of golf, has no problem going out and talking with golf instructors or people about golf and using that language and lingo. The person delivering the program needs to understand very clearly the golf mechanics, how the golf swing works, how the body works, all those kinds of things. And we teach them all of that stuff. Actually, in their training, when they come in for their first week, they spend a day with a golf instructor who we have on staff, like on a retainer, who comes in and actually spends a day with them, teaching them everything there is to know about sort of the mechanics of the golf swing and lingo and terminology and how to work with golf instructors. So I'm not afraid to ask for help from people outside of this business to really help our franchisees excel.
This is a good time to have you on. This is really kind of the beginning to the golf season. You have the Masters on coming on, one of the major golf tournaments. So this is like a real good time.
Sure.
This is really where you see a surge with franchisees, I guess, getting clients. I guess now through what you're here in the Northeast, I guess now through November is a big period, right?
You would think it would be now through November. Here in the Northeast, what we've seen is that January through July 1st is usually hopping crazy, and then July and August people go on vacation. In September, they come back, and we see September, October, November through about mid-December crazy busy, and then slow for about 2 weeks around the last 2 weeks of December or the first week of January. So it's I've got this down. That's what the Northeast looks like. If you're in South Florida, you're crazy busy from, early October to the end of April, and it's fairly quiet when all the snowbirds go home. If you're in Southern California or Texas, it's a 12-month-a-year business. If you're up in the northern tier of states around the Great Lakes, it mirrors what the Northeast mirrors. So we've been around long enough that we really can see these cycles and really coach franchisees on what to expect, depending on the area that they're in.
Golf's still a growing sport. It's just amazing the popularity. I mean, you brought here to the Northeast probably because this is maybe where you're from, but is there any particular part of the country? Is it just popular all over, or certain parts of the country more popular, the golf game?
I would tell you that the Northeast is a hotbed for golf. And what that means is if you look at the number of really country clubs, private clubs, public courses, and you compare that against the number of people in the area, there's a really dense golf club density. There's a really high golf club density. If you go into Southern California, you see the same thing. If you get into South Florida or Central Florida, you see the same thing. if you get around the Great Lakes and you get up into like Minnesota, and surprisingly, there's the same kind of thing. But you know, you're going to get into Montana, it's not going to be quite as there's not much. The population's not as dense there, and you know, we don't see as many golf courses. Idaho, those kinds of things. You get up into Washington, Oregon, there's lots of golf courses, lots of people playing golf. What's really funny to me is people go, well, why aren't you in Hilton Head? Well, the problem with Hilton Head is that the golf population isn't a stable population. It's a transient. And so if we're signing somebody up for a 6- to 12-month program and they're only there for 2 weeks, that's a problem.
The town I live in has 5 golf courses.
Right.
I think that might be the most of any town in New Jersey. I'm in Central Jersey, Monmouth County.
Really? I grew up in Toms River.
Yeah, I'm up in Colts Neck.
Sure.
5 golf courses.
Absolutely.
Including Trump just built one of his golf courses there. But, sure. You know, my brother-in-law plays, friends and everything. I've vowed to one day, hopefully I can semi-retire one day or at a decent age, and I'm going to pick up the game and play. I played a lot of sports, never played golf, and
right.
And it seems like I'm going to need body balance for sure.
You might. We'd like.
I will.
To you built.
Not
We'd
I
like
might, I will.
I'm always a little more conservative than that.
Yeah.
What about the characteristics, David? I mean, do you want to talk a little bit about that? Like, what kind of franchisees, who would be your ideal franchisee that you guys would be looking for?
I look for somebody who is interested in the game of golf and interested
mm-hmm.
in helping people get better. Those are, to me, the two number one and number two characteristics. The number three characteristics is, and this is sort of with franchising in general, we've had some franchisees when we took over who, you know, well, there wasn't a lot of a system there. There was a system in place.
Mm-hmm.
I want people who will embrace all the work that we've done and all the system kind of stuff that we've created. It's almost like when we're hiring an employee here, one of the areas that we dive into with them is their trainability or their willingness to be open to do maybe what they've never done before and just do it our way.
Right.
And to me, that's one of the most important things that I see when we look for, you know, what's the profile of a franchisee. Well, it's someone who has no self in the game and just wants to succeed. And when we think about that, what that means is that they actually duplicate exactly all the things that we give them. And we look at our top centers in the country. If we go through our top 10, that's what they've done. They've duplicated. They're doing everything that we ask them to do. I can call them and say, I've got a new thing I want you to try. Here's how we do it. Here's how it gets done. Now, would you go do it exactly? Oh, by the way, do you have any questions on what we said? No? Okay, go do it. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Tell me how it's going, and we'll debug it. But what I find is that the centers the operators who really duplicate well are the ones who do very well with this. And to duplicate, you have to be open to doing things different ways. So to us, that's important. Many, many of our franchisees have a background either in healthcare or personal training. And very few of our franchisees, actually none of them, actually buy a franchise, hire people, and just let it run by itself. We've always had owner-operators, not just owners. And I think that's important for our business. While that may make it a more small-scale business for the franchisee, I think there's really good potential upside in a single center or somebody wants to own a region, 4 or 5 centers, but not until you really understand the system and can duplicate the system. So, you know, to me, those are the things that we're really looking for. Are you willing to learn? Do you have some interest in the game of golf beyond just, you know, oh, yeah, golf's kind of cool? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, are you willing to duplicate it? If the answers are yes to those
Absolutely.
Things, then if the answers are yes to those things, then typically we have a very successful franchise.
That's great. What's the best way for our listeners, Dave, to get more information on becoming a franchisee? Are there any websites they can go to, any numbers they can call?
Sure. They can go to fitgolf.com.
Fitgolf.com.
F-I-T-G-O-L-F.com. And then on the homepage, I want to give you the exact URL, so give me just
mm-hmm.
a second. F-I-T-G-O-L-F.com. On that homepage, at the top, we didn't list it at the top. This is geared more for people who are interested in becoming clients in Body Balance Centers. But if you go below the flash image of people doing things exercise-wise, there's a link and a button that says Start a Franchise. Right?
Great.
So they could go there, or we could just give them the URL to that page, which is fitgolf.com/golf-franchise. That's the actual franchise homepage. So that would be the way to do it by looking at the internet. They could also email my vice president of network development. His name is Fran Rosario. And Fran really is the one who helps people understand what the opportunity is, looks at the people, screens them, and, you know, makes sure that they meet those couple things that we're looking for in terms of real credentials or real criteria, and then takes them through the whole process of disclosure and, you know, all the things that you have to do under our crazy legal system.
Great guy, really knows his stuff. Yeah, good guy, Fran.
He is a good guy. His email address is frosario, that's R-O-S-A-R-I-O, with an F in front of it, @fitgolf.com. Of course, they can email me at dostrow@fitgolf.com, that's dostrow@fitgolf.com, and probably what will end up happening is I have an initial conversation and then refer them or send them over to Fran. Or they could just call us directly at 888-348-4653. That's our corporate office number. And if you took out the numbers and put in letters, it would say 888-FIT-GOLF. So
good job.
They, however they care to dial that up. We were lucky to be able to get that.
Yeah,
those are our contact points. And you want my cell phone number? I'm happy to give that to you. No, I'm kidding. Whatever. we love to. Our thing is about we love to help people. And in helping people, that could mean physically with their golf games or in taking them into a business that can be successful for them.
Right. Excellent. Okay. Great job, David.
Thank you.
Thank you again, David. You've been a fantastic guest, and with Donna, I would love to have you guys come back in the near future and continue to talk about your franchise. I think you've got a great opportunity over there.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day, David.
Have a great day. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah. I mean, I've known about this franchise, was excited to have him on, and it's interesting component of combining the two, golf and helping people, getting them healthier. I think they're going to have some great success going forward.
Absolutely. So good job on today's show, Don. And for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, gofranchise.com, franchiseworldradio.com. And I'll be talking to you next week, Don.
Take care.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Take care.